Endlich ist es weit eine neue Episode von unserem höchst bekannten und höchst modernen Podcast von allem Kompetent Witzig. Es hat lange gedauert, bis dass wir keine Episode konnten abholen. Und das wegen verschiedenen Gründen, wegen es schaffen, für und allem, aber auch wegen Covid. Und endlich sind wir auch zusammen mit einem neuen Gesprächspartner. Und das ist ein bisschen tricky, weil wir haben am Anfang eine Gesprächspartnerin, die das Französin, aber fluent am Anfang am Englischen. Dann das halbe Flitzebäuerin, halbe Französin, er schwätzt aber lieber Französisch wie Englisch. Und ich selber kann wieder nach mit einem Hang zum Englischen. Also machen wir das heute so plötzlich. Gell, geil, ja?
Jo.
No, we'll stick to English, I think, for the podcast, since it's the best for everybody, if that suits you well.
That suits me well.
That's okay.
Yeah, we already had one episode in French, so we can do also one in English with my two colleagues, which I present now. First, one is a French native. She grew up in Franche-Comté in France. Her whole youth, she passed there, did her studies there, and then she went to Brighton in England to work in an agency, and is now here in Luxembourg for almost a year, working as a graphic designer slash illustrator slash blogger about funny looking houses. Gaia Joyeux. Hi, Gaia.
Moyen.
Yeah, just go. Yeah, yeah. Moyen. Very near to the microphone,
yes,
please.
Yes, okay.
And my second talk partner is even newer colleague here in Mosquito. She's from Luxembourg, spent her whole life actually in movies and on movie sets, working as a casting director, production assistant, camera woman, photographer, production coordinator. Did I miss anything or did I forget anything?
No, I think that's quite it.
Pretty much everything in film, what you can do, she did it and now is part of Mosquito since November 2020, working as a project manager slash commercial producer, Roxane Peguet.
Hello.
Yeah, we know a bit for a few years now, and I know you from your past in movies, and actually Roxane did her best interview of her life with me when she was still a student. But let's not talk about that. Starting with my first question for you, how is it as a greenhorn now in communication and or the ad business coming out of the film business, and why did you choose to do that step?
How it is, well, it's for the moment still going well. it was a change, but not that much as I thought it would be, because I as you are working here now, you're also doing a lot more commercials, so it's so we can actually work on, I'm still working on, let's say, movies or video.
Yeah.
So it's fine. So it's not as as hard. And yeah, just to, it was not really a choice. It was more like trying my luck because I had like bad experience last year in the movie industry again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's not the best industry.
Yeah.
As we all know, and it's quite hard, and after sometimes it has its good parts and sometimes it doesn't, and I was just like fed up, and I saw the announce that you were looking for someone and I just tried.
But
and here you are.
Yeah,
here
I am. It's funny that you say that it's a hard business and a tough business, because always like it's said that the ad business or the commercial business is not an honest business, you know, where we are, you know, we have to create fantasies and everything. I know in film too, but it's more honest, you know. And is it so hard and it's so different from I say commercial?
I think the biggest difference is that what you create is probably fake, but still how you work is, I mean, you have clients and agencies, so you have a hierarchy. And in film, it's mostly, and I say that as I worked in production, so I know how it is, that sometimes production companies aren't completely honest, or they try to save their budget at the cost of the technicians. And I saw it so many times, and it's just, it's a really hard, it's just a really hard industry to break through and to make your way up, which I don't see that much now here in the commercial part.
You said that you now work, and we know that you also work as producer, commercial producer here, but also as project manager. So you do classic project management. How is it for you in that particular?
Before I worked here, I worked as a production coordinator on movies and managers. So it's actually quite the same. It's like coordinating your team and handling a budget, and so it's like a different industry, but it's not that different actually. It's this kind of the same job. So that's why I think it was quite okay to switch from one side to the other.
Yeah, so a bigger switch even did our very own Gaia. she switched the country. So yeah, in a country where you never lived before, you came to Luxembourg and arriving during COVID, which seems to me pretty hard. You know, everything is closed. You can't enjoy the whole country as it is. But how hard was it, or is it still okay?
Well, I've switched country before, and it's always kind of unsettling, I'd say. You have all the different admins and all the bank accounts and phone numbers to do. And COVID, I arrived just before it happened, but I was not working yet. And then I went to my grandma's and I got stuck there.
Oh my God, yes.
And I actually haven't seen Luxembourg without COVID, apart from like a very short 1 week holiday or something. Mm-hmm. I'm not too sure what I'm missing out.
Well, yeah, the thing is that, you know, the restaurants are not open, so it's not a normal life. You can't enjoy everything. You can't go to concerts or festivals. Or since I also think I know you pretty little bit, that I know that you like to do stuff also and discover stuff, and you can't discover everything. So I think it's pretty awkward to come in a country during COVID, no?
Yeah, it's kind of weird because you're like in somewhere new, but you stay at home. And you're like, oh, where do I live?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's super strange. Mm-hmm. Not everything is closed. We went to the cinema the other day and the Cinémathèque.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty nice. But yeah, the restaurant, I mean, that's so sad.
Yeah, that's very sad. But what are you looking forward to when everything is normal, I say?
Well, because I don't really know what the normal looks like. I'm not too sure if there's like special events or anything. But I actually look forward to having house parties with like loads of people. I used to love doing that at uni, just having loads of friends coming over, barbecuing and drunk talking. And I would really like to do that with colleagues, because I think it's actually a really nice environment to create like friendships and everything outside of work. And I think I look forward to that.
Yeah, because we are also like limited in that in business also. Everybody is like doing part-time home office, and you can't enjoy really like company of everybody. We have restrictions how we eat and when we eat, and but I think when everything is pretty normal again, then it's okay. So you came to Luxembourg, you worked before in an agency in the UK.
Yes.
What was the biggest difference for you to two markets, like the English market ad market and the Luxembourgish ad market, clients and also point of view, creativity, and what you can do and how far you can go?
I think it's very different because basically I feel like the UK looks more like creative, especially in like food packaging. You see in the shops, they all look nice. Like, how many times did I buy a chocolate that was actually disgusting, but the packaging was so nice? I was like, it's £10, whatever.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Okay.
And I don't find that here. But what I found is that it's such a small country, and I find it really weird to just see logos we've made in the streets. And that never happened to me in the UK. We had also where I worked.
Logos we've made.
What?
I didn't understand what you said. Logos with.
That we made.
Okay, sorry. Yeah.
Things that we made, we see.
Yeah, you actually see
regularly.
It. Yeah, yeah, you see the results. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And that never used to happen to me because we also had loads of American clients.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, we never see that. And I was a bit scared coming here that would be less creative, less, creative sensitive. Mm-hmm. But actually, I used to work in an agency. We had more like tech clients.
Okay.
And stuff like that in here, because the clients are smaller. I feel like they are more willing to take risks, whereas very big corporate companies, they're safe and they just don't want to go. So I didn't expect this, but I actually think here is quite, it allows you the space to be creative.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's always something which I have a problem with. I always think that it's not far enough. But yeah, I think it's also they have to adapt, because when they see other things from other countries or companies who are in the same field as them, they think, okay, we can do that too. Okay, we can try that too.
Mm.
And when it's an evolution, that's nice. Roxanne, coming out you from out of fictional business, how open are agency clients when it comes to fiction or video shoots and the ideas behind? Are they open, in your opinion, for new things, or is this still a bit in square, I think.
I haven't been to so many pitch meetings, so I can't really say how they react when you pitch it. So it's really a tricky question for me.
Yeah, but so after the results, you know exactly what they say afterwards, and you see the ideas which we propose to them. Do you think that they are pretty open? Are you free of
I think it depends on the client. It's clear that when we pitch something together, we think about a concept together, and they didn't choose it, and it chose something else that's less artistic, or that we are quite disappointed in it, because a lot of clients don't want to take the step of, like, I think Luxembourg is and always has been like a comfort zone, and it's also how we are taught, like, go to school, go to uni, have a job, buy a house, and live in suburbs, and that's and it reflects also how clients, some, not all of them obviously, but how a lot of clients work, like also big companies that are settled and know their clientele, and so it's kind of hard to get out of this comfort zone and to make the clients try new things because they're afraid.
Yeah, it's all, for me, it's always some kind of a lottery. You say that lottery. So you go to a client and you have like this out of the box idea, and you know that the other companies, for example, they have not like these out of the box ideas. And then it's like 50-50. Okay, are they open for this, open minded? And if they are not open minded, so they choose between, like, for example, when you pitch off three companies, you have two companies which are pretty normal. So you have. It's harder to win a pitch with a classical idea than with a good idea, because if the good idea is understood by the client, he will stick on that, and
exactly.
So that's my approach to, like, for example, for these ideas, and I think we have to be more open in that. Gaia, you as an illustrator, you have created because you can go everybody on Gaia's Instagram. It's called No, I'm Tired. So also ne sin mit. No, I'm tired. So you created your very own style, actually, also with figures, you know, with people. How far can you bring your illustrations or your style into your daily work? Is that possible?
Well, I always try. I always try to have my style coming through. And I'd say 80% of the time it doesn't work. But it's nice to have the space to at least try and have the client see them. But since I started working, which has been 3 years, which is not that long, but I'm so used to a client being like, that's too fun, or that's too out there. And I'm like, well, so do you want to be sad and cold? And I feel like clients have this weird vision that seriousness has to be sad and cold. And I'm constantly trying to say no, because if you get something that's more fun and maybe colorful, or like a different style that their competition doesn't have, then it makes them stand out. But most of them are afraid of that, and so you always end up making clean vector isometric blue and green faceless people, which is most of the time, but sometimes it works.
Colors can also transmit something sad.
Yeah.
You know,
or blue and green.
Yeah, blue and green.
And gray. Sad gray.
Yeah, sad gray. Right, for example, no, and also what the when you have lots of sad comics, you know, it's like, it's not like a comic is always happy about happiness. And I think pretty much even there are lots of comic, and there's also like this cartoon came out. Was it Pixar or Disney? The one about death, you know, in Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
What was it called?
Coco.
Yeah, Coco. Yeah. It's about death, you know, and it's a whole comic. It's colorful. Mm-hmm. And so that is something you can transmit so many things about illustration. But do you think in general, is that in general or just in Luxembourg that they are not prepared as such for illustrations, for example?
I think it's in general. In the UK was the same when we had very highly big companies, corporate companies, especially in tech. It's all blue and gray. And it's all like, oh, but that's... The thing that always comes back is it's too childish, which I think is such a... It's interesting, but I don't agree.
Yeah, but then you see Google, for example, who has those colorful colorful colors and gadgets and it seems more fun, but we still take them seriously.
Yeah, and I think there's a thing to do here that that companies don't have to be boring, and I think it brings them down to have things that all the companies look the same. They all have the same illustrations. They're all in the same color, and I think they don't stand out. And maybe they look serious, but it doesn't make you want to invest or be a client or something. To me, anyway. But
but you said it. The biggest companies, they stand out because of their illustrations or colors. Like Google have these colors. Mm-hmm. Apple have an apple.
Exactly.
So it's a symbol. It's symbolization of communication. Yeah. And I think that's something where clients have to stick more.
Something I don't understand, because you can give them as many examples of successful corporate companies that have amazing brand and fun illustrations and colors. And they're like, no. Mm-hmm. And I'm like...
Yeah, but you don't understand. If you have 10 companies that... do the same thing, for example.
Yeah.
And they all have the same chart and the same colors, the same kind of logos.
Yeah.
But if you are the one who stands out, they don't understand that it's actually a good thing.
Yeah.
That people will notice you and take more interest in you.
Yeah. I think most of them are also scared that people will be like, oh, they're not serious anymore. But I'm like, I usually think if your product is good, and your brand is coherent and makes it attracts people coming, then why would they leave? And I think it also, because you stand out in the crowd, more people are gonna come.
Yeah, exactly. It's we worked, without going too far into the details, but we worked on a project for Marché Immobilier and what I found out during research and even before is that Mobilier, I don't know how it is in France or England, but in Luxembourg, everything which is with immobilier is in red or black or white, or perhaps grey.
Grey is always there.
Yeah. Why can't anybody think about other colors? It's like something would be in their brain. No, it has to be in red, or because I see red everywhere. You know, when it's come with houses, I don't know why. Do you know why this came up, or is this also in France or England, or is it more
in France? We have La Forêt, which is blue.
Yeah, but Paris Vendu is red and white. And it is true. Well, loads of sectors have their colors, and I'm always wondering where it's coming from and what. It's a bit like carrots, and you're like, oh, the only way to cook carrots is to just steam them, and you're like, wow, there's so many other things you can do with carrots, and it's still carrots, it still works, it's still the same product, it's still the same, you know. I don't know where this kind of cookie cutter comes from, where they're like, oh, we are, I don't know, like a bank, we need to be blue.
I think it's because of the competition. You know, somebody started it.
Yeah.
And then the competition thought, okay, we have to be more like them. What do they? Okay, they have red, they have black, they have blue, white. So we have to do something red. And
yeah.
I think it's like that.
But I feel like it's so counterproductive, because then, like we said before, you just don't stand out.
Mm. Yeah, it's a comfort zone. It's just like,
And then
we're trying, but
a house
not too
in
hard.
The logo. And you have to put a house in the logo.
Like a roof.
Yeah. Well, you have to understand that they're selling houses somehow.
So, Roxanne, talking about more of the digital digital stuff, you are completely in the TikTok game. Roxanne comes often into my office and says, have you seen that person on TikTok? You're not like the creator, but you are like the fan who watches it and likes what. What is the thing about TikTok? What is...
I
don't know, because I don't understand it. So it's really like...
I think there's a little bit more... I would say there's a little bit more honesty on TikTok that you wouldn't find on Instagram. I think Instagram is becoming so fake. Every picture people post, it's just like something, it's just in a Scheinwelt. It's just like they
shiny world, which is fantasy. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like they want to be, that's how you want people to see you on Instagram. Yeah. And I have the feeling when I'm on TikTok, I see people who are not putting makeup on, who are just in the PJs, and they don't care because it's about the story they tell. Mm. You know, it's about what they're saying. It's not about, it's about their contenu. And it's not about just being pretty, because that's not going to work at one point. You have, of course, TikTok accounts that do like makeup and fashion and whatever.
And dance. That's the thing, because I always bring in connection like TikTok and these girls dancing.
No, but that's just like one part. That's one little part of TikTok, but you have so many. And I think it's also hilarious. It's really, really funny. Like when I'm on TikTok, I'm laughing the entire time because, but it depends also. There's also a really better algorithm. So whatever you like and whatever you share, you get shown more. So if I only like dance videos for a day, I will only have dance videos, but I like funny people. So I see funny people and I also see some influences, but it's still, again, it's not as
perfect.
Fake and perfect as Instagram. And
it's all about the filter. The thing is that you talk about algorithms. It's also very possible that you, as Luxembourgish person on TikTok, you will get like thousands of A, followers, and B, also likes and reactions. Like, for example, we have worked now with one influencer, or is it called? No, it's TikToker, right?
For me, she's not really she's not really influencing because she's just doing videos. She's not promoting stuff. Now she's trying to get clients.
We did it. We used her.
Yeah. But exactly. For me, she's a TikToker. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, she has like, what was it? 35,000 followers.
Kinda, yeah,
which is for Luxembourg is like crazy. And that is something which is crazy about TikTok. So you get really big reach also for your product. So is it, in your opinion, a big asset for communication or for the ad business, TikTok?
Well, I tried last week. I tried to push the algorithm to see how many followers I can get in like a short amount of time. And I got 300 followers in 2 days, I think, just because I posted 2 or 3 videos that maybe stood out, or because I didn't follow a trend.
What did you do?
I did like videos, like I did 2 videos that got the most likes. Were one where I just imitated my friends, and it was like how my friends from the city react when I have a new boyfriend, and then how my friends from Ash react when I have a new boyfriend. So, and then people were like, do Ace Lick. And and I got like thousands of, I think 10,000 views and a thousand likes. And it's, if you give people something, they will give back.
Also, you know? Hate. Is it?
I didn't get that much hate. No,
because in Instagram it's like that. You know, you do something to give an impression which not exists. You know, it's like what you said about the fantasy, and you get also hate. You know, when somebody's doing and showing something which is not like normal in our normal entre guillemets world, there's a lot of negative reactions, and this is some pressure where these people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, put them under, you know. And I don't know how it is in TikTok. Is it?
You still have kind of, it's not really hate, but it's just like comments about and you have to but you have to remember that that there are also a lot of kids on this app who comment and who don't understand what you're doing. So that's why I always take a step back and I try checking out what kind of account it is. And on TikTok you have a lot of closed accounts, or like where they just have a username and that's it. No, they don't post anything because there are a lot of lurkers. But to come back to your question, I think as an agency, having TikTok is, it's important that someone in the agency understands TikTok. I'm not saying that now, for example, Mosquito as an agency should have TikTok, because we are not selling a product, we're selling
but you sometimes you have products which are focused more on like youth
absolutely,
or young people, but so you have to use all the channels which are possible.
Sure, but I mean, we are not selling like stuff like real stuff. So we're selling dreams.
Not yet. We are selling dreams. That's good. Mosquito, we are pretty much the first ones who say that.
Dream sellers.
Gaia, do you have an Instagram, TikTok account, sorry?
Well.
Yes.
So I only have one because of Roxanne.
Ah, yeah. Oh, really? Awesome.
Okay. So most of the TikTok content that I consume is through Instagram, because there's, right now there's this weird overlap where loads of Instagram people who also have TikTok create on TikTok and then post on Instagram, and I'm more of an Instagram user, and Hoxan said is the worst way of seeing TikTok is on Instagram. She started sending me all these hair tips things.
You are sending that to her.
So TikTok heatless style hairstyles or whatever.
Okay.
And she said, oh, you have to create an account. So I only have one, but I'm one of the lurkers, like she said. I don't have a profile picture. I'm just looking.
Yeah, me too.
It's been very intimidating to create on it. And I'm very out of the loop on this.
But I also have like a very bad mood about like just lurking, you know, when you just watch, because there are lots of, you know, there are lots of young people on it, and you just watch it some, and you know that there are other people with other things in mind, you know, who are also there. And for that, I'm a little bit critic about.
But it's still TikTok. Social media. I mean, it's not perfect.
But the thing is that even Facebook and Instagram are trying with the age restrictions. TikTok is not trying.
No,
at
it
all.
Is not.
So it's open for everybody, and everybody can do it. You know, and that's a little bit.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's funny because now on TikTok, people are saying that Instagram is becoming the new Facebook, and. I'm pretty sure Instagram is quite dead for people under 20. It's just like I don't know a lot of 20-year-olds who have Instagram and post a lot. They they have one to check out things, but it's not it's in 1 or 2 years Instagram will be
But I feel like it's also a kind of very different exercise as the content you put in, because TikTok is storytelling and video, and Instagram is more like static images. You can put videos and stuff and reels. I don't even know
Reels. Never done a reel.
That's the problem. It never came out on Instagram. They tried and tried and tried with IGTV, now with reels. They are not into videos, and they missed the train. I mean, Luxembourg should say that. You missed the train to go on that video thing, because videos are the ones which are used to transmit a message. And it's not, people don't read anymore, people don't have time anymore, so they watch photos or videos, and they miss the video part, and that's one thing which TikTok is perfect.
But I feel like Instagram also still kind of Snapchat with the story thing.
Yeah, but this worked, because this is one of the only things I still like on Instagram is like watching stories.
Which is videos, sometimes.
Exactly.
But I think it's a very different kind of thing to do, TikTok and Instagram. For me, Instagram is, I look at like illustrate. I haven't been into TikTok too much. I don't know the art scene there, but I mostly look at illustrations and photos, and Instagram is full of photography accounts. And for me, static content, I quite like videos as well, but I don't want to make videos. So is that kind of, I feel like they're not really the same thing, I think. But yeah.
You work in our digital department, so designing websites. That's the thing which I had already discussions also in that podcast. What is the future of classical websites? Will they always have their place? A and B, will they be replaced by social media sometime? What is your opinion on that?
I think they're here to stay, because so social media, if you take Instagram for example, is a very kind of, you have this square, and you have the slides where you can put several things, but it's like a very limited short attention span thing, and you can't really go in depth, because I don't know about you, but I don't read super long descriptions on
the
post.
What we said, nobody reads
exactly
anymore.
And I think a website is very good after research. So you see something on Instagram that you like, and for me, I don't know if it's because I'm a designer and then I want to see, but I like to go on their profile and find a link to their website, because it's a more kind of all-rounded world and experience that you can create, that's all kind of it's all one thing that can be, whereas on Instagram or even Twitter is only text. You can't really convey a world, I think. And on Instagram, you can create a branded Instagram, but it's, at the end of the day, it's individual posts. And on Instagram, it allows you to create a full on experience that all ties in together. And I think you can't expect people on social media to in depth look into your business. And so that's why Instagram, I think websites are important, because they are the professional side of social media. I don't think I would trust a company that only has Instagram. I think the website is kind of the stamp of professionalism. They always tell you, you know, if you're a photographer or an illustrator, you need an online,
and also how it looks like when you go on a homepage and it looks shit, you know, I think it's like its first impression, and it's also some kind of recruitment. So everything you need to find, if it's like information about the company or information about their work, you find on the website regrouped on one click. And if you go on Facebook or Instagram, you have to scroll through through the feed or and that's
yeah, I think the website is created for so user experience is also actually a full-on job to think about how the website works and what the user's journey through the website is going to do. And on social media you're very limited by their own layout mm-hmm. and how they work. And mm-hmm. like Twitter is only text, or you can post pictures, but I find it really, I don't like Twitter. I can't remember my
In Luxembourg
password.
We say it's just used by journalists and politicians.
Yes.
It's like that. It never came out in Luxembourg. Do you have a Twitter account?
No.
Okay.
I do, but I never use it.
Yeah.
Like it's
I
don't remember the password.
Yeah. So that's the problem.
But I wish I was more into it because it's more fluent information, but still,
it always confused me.
Twitter. Yeah,
I just like funny tweets.
Yeah, there are which is in Germany, and also I think there's also an American comedian. He just writes tweets
mm-hmm.
and he posts the screenshots of the tweets on his Instagram account.
Yeah,
yes, they're all overlapping.
Yeah,
that's
what's
yeah,
funny. Yeah, exactly. Gaia, very ben. Important question. What is your opinion on houses in in Luxembourg?
I have been under scrutiny for this because I have very strong opinions on houses.
Yeah.
Well, the first thing is how incredibly expensive everything is.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? And I see tiny little boxes for 1 million. And for me, it's just incredible. Like, I could probably buy a castle in France for the price of a parking space. Which is crazy to me.
Yeah.
But more on that. Yeah. No, I'm
the castle for parking.
Yeah, but you have small castles.
Or a little manor. You know, something simple.
Yeah,
and
okay.
Humble.
Okay, something simple. Yeah.
In a ruin, obviously.
Yeah.
But what's more on top of how expensive they are is, I'm not too much into the style of these houses. So I like you said at the beginning, I started that Instagram account called Weird Houses of Luxembourg because since I've arrived here, I've been astonished by the styling and architecture and especially color choosing.
Yeah.
And I have become obsessed with these neon apple green houses that I see everywhere. And I just, it really confuses me.
But they did it to stand out. It's what we said before about campaigns, you know. They do it. Everybody's doing the same, like these square houses, but we have to do something special. So take this green color to put on it.
But there's a limit to everything.
Yeah.
And I feel like when I look at the house market, it's spend a million on a white box or spend a million on a green box. And I'm like, I don't know.
So you have to to follow all Weird Houses of Luxembourg, right?
Yeah, the handle is Weird Houses Lux.
Weird Houses Lux. So it's Gaia. So no, we revealed the secret.
You can send me the weird houses that you find. I'll post them.
But it was really funny because I told her about that. I was like, hey, did you see? At first I told her like, hey, there's a Belgium account, which is really funny, like Weird Houses of Belgium, because their houses are even more effed up. And then I told her about it. And then she was like, oh, yeah, really? And I'm like, yeah, now a Luxembourg account opened. And she was like, yeah, it's me.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I was wondering because I saw Ben was following, I think, or I got it as a suggestion.
Yes.
Now, yeah.
I also sent already one or two houses.
Yeah, one of yours.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but that's also something, you know, talking about prices in Luxembourg, which comes into my mind is that urban legend. I think, have we talked about it? It's in a book. It's in a German book, which is about a family who said that's the pressure of the societal pressure mm-hmm. in Luxembourg. So you have to show what you have, and if you don't show it, you're not good. And there's this book, this urban legend, which says that it was a family in Bergen.
Mm-hmm.
Which said that they went to holidays for 2 or 3 weeks. And the only thing they did was they went into the cellar, looked themselves up.
Yeah.
And they said to the neighbors to watch after the cat and everything like that.
Oh, Luxembourg's director did a movie about that.
Oh, really?
Aisha Halliwell.
Okay.
It's called The Family Who Hid in the Cellar.
Yeah.
And it's a short movie that came out 2 or 3 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. with Tommy Schlosser also. I casted Tommy Schlosser as the reporter. Yeah.
You casted it. Okay, nice.
Not all of the, but yeah, some of the roles, yeah.
But that's something which is like just so good for Luxembourg, you know, to describe
my,
Luxembourg.
My boyfriend told me once, big car in the driveway, nothing on the table.
That's true. Yeah, it's like there was always this German ad also, which we had two fans, they always came together, and then the one came, look, my car, my house, my everything, my boat, and everybody was just making more and more and more, and afterwards it was nothing, you know, and that's a bit like, which comes into the big houses where, you know. Speaking of storytelling, storytelling is just like this shabby word, everybody uses it now, but I always say, like, don't talk about it, just do it, you know. Storytelling, we do storytelling, we do that and that. What do you think about this used word? How important is it to tell stories nowadays to again distinguish yourself from your competition?
Well, in film it's the same, we say show don't tell, so show it. You don't need your characters to say something, like, for example, playing like I love you. No, you show it. Mm-hmm. You show your character who does that because he loved that. He loves that person. But I mean, there's everywhere. There's a story in an illustration, in a movie, in the music. Everything you do, because if you don't put a story behind it, then it doesn't have a real meaning. Yeah, I don't. So stories are everywhere. Now it's your choice to decide how you want to tell this story, like the client, how do they want to tell this story? And I heard a podcast last week also of one of my favorite TikTokers, a girl from LA. She was on a podcast and they talked also about storytelling and about the brands. And because she also now receives gifts from brands and she promotes them, but the ones she likes. And she says, like, we don't shop as and buy products as our parents did. Like, our parents went to Cactus, and when they needed a toothpaste, they got the toothpaste they got, like, for 20... Yeah. Exactly. Always the same toothpaste. And, like, they really didn't think about it. And now, I guess our generation, younger people, they want to identify with their brand. So why...
Even with toothpaste.
Yeah, even if it's toothpaste. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying I identify with it, but I identify with my shampoo. Like, why do I use that shampoo? Because that brand is maybe fair trade, or you know what I mean, like ecological. They handle their work as well. It could be every. I don't do it with everything I buy, obviously, because at one point you go crazy. But in your everyday life, you wanna, you wanna kind of be what the brand is. You know, like, if that. And identify yourself with that brand.
But sometimes the brands are not what they seem to be.
Obviously. That's also, but that's the branding.
That's good branding.
That's good branding.
Yeah, but that is something, you know, you know what people say about Apple, you know, where they produce their machines and computers and everywhere, you know. But on the other side, it's a cool brand, you know.
That's the power of it.
Yeah.
It's like, there are now this, like, big, amazing company that makes amazing product, and they have this lobby that's incredible. Like, they have so many softwares only available on Mac, and that's all part of the branding.
Yeah.
It's like the exclusive, and it's so well done that you don't really think behind it. And that's
crazy.
I remember I watched a documentary on advertisement, and it's, they were saying branding and adverts is just very good lying.
Yeah.
And it's really, if you like ethical things, and you should like ethical things, you should be ethical. But it's important to know what's behind. Mm-hmm. But very good branding is very good at hiding everything.
Yeah.
And it's just very good lying.
Yeah, because I saw now, or I even used it in the research for a project. Apple did an amazing video, an animation video about employer branding. So they talk about the different religions, the different traditions people have, and everything is so nice, and you are the one, because it's all about the Apple. So they transformed that. Didn't I show it?
Yeah, we watched it together.
Yeah, you know, with Apple, the everything happens about the logo, and that everybody is part of that logo of that Apple. And then on the other side, you always think even on the negative things. But as you said, it's so hard, the brand is so hard and so good, you know, that you say, oh, fuck it. And that's crazy what they do mm. with
but that's what's super annoying about good product and bad companies mm. is that you have, I mean, I love my Mac, but I wouldn't want to support a brand that's mm. that's that big and mm. and you're not too sure what happens behind the scenes. The product is so good, man.
Yeah.
It's just so annoying.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it's also yeah. it's also about also the food industry. You know, you think this is a good product, but you don't know if it's Unilever or mm-hmm. Some other yeah. badass behind who
always look at the logos people. Behind.
Yeah.
Always
yeah.
try.
Yeah. My last question before coming to my favorite part of the podcast is to you, Gaia. Is it harder to tell a story with illustrations than with a video, or is it be the same? Because you just have this static.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think it's a bit of like that TikTok, Instagram thing, is that illustration is static. It's one image. You can't really do much with it. And video, you can have different scenes, different actors, different... I mean, you can also have different quote-unquote actors in the illustration. But I think... it's a very interesting exercise to have the bigger picture and like more story into one image. It forces you to kind of see it differently and try and organize everything so that you get a full story in one image. And so I think it's a very different exercise. But then in the middle, you have animation, mm-hmm. which is really, really good mm-hmm. for that type of things, because yeah. sometimes you want to show something mm-hmm. that you would need VFX and enormous budget for it that you can do in animation and convey other emotions with also colors and style and everything. And animation for that is really good. But I think it depends the story you want to tell. If it's a very in-depth, complex story, I think video would be better. Mm-hmm. And illustration, I think, is very good for teasing a story, like movie
yeah, also
posters.
In pitches, like we use yeah. Like illustrations yeah. also to for mood boards, for
exactly.
example. Yeah.
And is good. It's good for giving you that little sample, mm-hmm. and you want more. Sometimes illustrations, it's only what you get.
Yeah.
But if like movie posters is a very good example. That it's like a one static image that trying to tease a full on story. I think it's they go very well together, mm. in my opinion, but I don't think they can replace one another okay. for the same type of story you want to tell.
Mm-hmm. Okay. My question for you was in advance to think also about two things. First one was your dream client project. If you could choose anything on the world, we had like, for example, our very own Selma, who said she wanted to work with Rihanna once to do campaign for Rihanna yeah, or amazing. A logo or something. But we also had other people with other dreams. And what would be your dream project or client? I don't know who wants to start, Roxanne.
I think it would be something where we do a lot of things for them mm-hmm. to start. So video, obviously, because I still this the mm-hmm. thing I like most. So video and everything we could do for them. And I think maybe, yeah, I didn't think about a celebrity actually.
Or a field. I don't know.
I thought more about music or fashion
okay.
because it's my main. Those are my main interests.
Course,
yeah. So I'd say, yeah, music or like a musician, a celebrity like Harry Styles, which I know Gaia would also very much love to work with.
Did you see his appearance on the Grammys?
No, but we have...
it's planned for lunchtime.
Yeah, today. Okay. We have a meeting at lunchtime with Gaia to watch it. I texted her yesterday evening.
Did you see where it is? Because I wanted to find it yesterday and they took it over. They took it off, yeah.
Oh, I'll find it. I'll find
but
it.
But they have BTS.
Yeah. Wow.
No, okay. So for Harry Styles, you would like to do?
No, it was an example, but I think yeah, I would really love to do fiction,
mm-hmm.
A fiction movie, and mm. yeah, like a high end, maybe, yeah, an A-list celebrity or like Chanel or something.
Uh-huh.
Like, Wes Anderson film would be really cool.
Yeah,
Wes Anderson. Yeah,
oh, yeah. I'd love to work on the decor.
Well, we could try to use the style of Wes Anderson. We already did it, you know, for some campaigns. It's like mm. with the colors and everything
yeah.
to create like some this fantasy mm-hmm. world.
Mm.
Okay, noted. We do that.
Okay,
Gaia.
I think mine would be something related to food because I do love food. I'm a grand. No, that's not the word.
I'm a grand chef.
I'm a big cooker. Okay. I love to cook. I love food, and I think. Either a food brand, where we could do all the packagings and all their like, I don't know, like a cookie brand, and we do all the boxes. I think the ultimate thing would be a cooking book where I could work on from start to finish, food photography and illustrations and all the design of like a cooking book. I think would be so cool. I'd love that. And maybe a website behind.
I can't say that.
What is yours, Ben?
Yeah, no, I have lots of. I take everything I get.
Yeah, no, I know. It's a challenge, but that's the thing. I cannot decide on one specific thing.
No, I want. That's not particular one campaign or thing. I would like to have one big sports client. Yeah. You know, a company, a sports company already. You know, when you have these professional clubs because I like sports, and to do the whole communication for them. To have like not unlimited but a lot of budget. I would love to see not particularly in sport, but to have like an unlimited budget and to play, and you have this, and then you can, because I always say not every idea needs big budget. You know, you can have good idea but if you can't have no limitations, that would be awesome. And,
but that's also one thing that I actually forgot, which I really liked while I was doing movies, is like traveling for work. I really love that, and like even staying for 1 or 2 weeks at a hotel, and at night you have lunch, you have dinner with your coworkers all together, and like it's a different dynamic, and it's that's something I would really love. Like, I don't know, go to New York or LA with work for work,
or to Riesling.
I already did that for so many movies. It's fine. I'm done. I'm done going to Riesling.
You worked on Capitani, right? That was also played.
Not really Riesling. That was Burschlenster.
Yeah, Riesling.
For us, it's Riesling, but no, Gutland was in the barrage. Gutland was all.
Oh my God. To do that would be my thing, would be something with the unlimited budget. Do what you need to do, but do it good. Yeah. And that would be an awesome challenge. Okay, last point. The hardest point, I think, for everybody is always to describe the other person in 3 words.
You start now.
I didn't know if you prepared that, but I sent it to you.
I did, not really.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gaia, start, please.
I think Roxanne is very kind. I think she's human. And like professional, but in a way that's still personal and inhuman. And the last one is my favorite, is she's hilarious. She's so funny. Yeah.
That's true.
Thank you, guys. Yeah.
Sometimes she's hilarious, yes.
All the time.
No, but I know Roxanne for so long, and that's true, yeah.
But I've known her for not very long.
Yeah.
And we get on really well, so...
the thing is, I always like this thing because it brings something good, you know, at the end of the podcast, and everybody's happy and likes to work then, you know.
Well, we have a common love for Harry Styles, which only good things comes from that.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Nice. Roxanne,
the first one who came to my mind about Gaia was gentle. She's super gentle and sweet. Like, sweet is not the second. The second word is, I also had funny and hilarious, because we laugh a lot together.
We're a funny bunch.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're on the same...
Exactly.
Level.
Level, yeah.
And third is obviously also creative, very creative in what she does. And she helps me a lot also while working. She always goes like one step ahead. Like when I ask her something, she does more than she's asked to. And that's a really big plus to work with.
That's true. And she's quick in that also. She's like very quick. Yeah. You know, something which I always was surprised. Like, you know, you don't have to wait, like, for example. And you know both. Well, it's the business. It's sometimes it has to go very quick and even too quick. But there's coming a result very, very quick. If you ask something in illustration or something, okay, already done.
Stop it.
So both of you, thank you very much. It was very nice. It was a good discussion, interesting topics, and
you should start a podcast.
I think about doing that. I think I quit my job here and I just doing podcasts, but nobody wants to pay. That's something. Luxembourg is not ready yet for podcasts, so it's still in a transition phase, and it's not in the UK, in France, in Germany. There's so many people who work just with podcasts and they're getting paid to do podcasts, but one step at the time. But we also do podcasts here at Mosquito. So if you want to produce a podcast, come to Mosquito, podcast@mosquito.lu. That's even a special email address for that. We have it, yeah. It's also, thank you very much, both of you.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, no problem. And dann bis nächstes Jahr bei Kompetent Witzig, eurem Agence-Podcast von Mosquito.